Well, folks, believe it or not, it is March the 4th, 2023. Captain Josh Olive and Mr. Robert Lukowitz sitting here in the Fish and Frank's World Headquarters in the bustling metropolis of downtown Port Charlotte / Charlotte Harbor, ready to do the place-by-place fishing report. Robert, are you feeling froggy today?
About as froggy as I can be.
So, not very froggy?
Yeah, not too bad.
How about sassy? Can you drum up some sassy for us?
No, that's going to be a far stretch.
Okay. Well, then, I tell you what. You just be you.
Okay.
Do this however you want to do it. Because the important thing is we're going to get the information out there to the information-starved people. And I know they're information-starved because I got all the complaints last week.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do one.
Yeah, I got several phone calls and a couple of people asking yesterday.
It's like, hey, look it. You don't pay for it. It's free. Mm-hmm. You'll get it when you get it.
Hey, sometimes life gets in the way of us doing this.
We try. We really do. But sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Right.
We make our solemn pledge to you to do this at least 30% of the time. Listen, that's all I'm willing to really commit to. We're going to try every week.
Yeah, but I get it.
Anyway, you feeling all right?
Yeah.
You feeling ready to do this?
Yeah.
You think you have the information ready to go?
I think so. I had a warm-up earlier.
Okay, then we will get started with no further ado.
And a little kid out front complimented me because his mom's like, are you the one that does the radio show? And I said, yes, and she looked right at him, and he got a big smile on his face. We listen to you guys every Saturday.
Well, there you go.
That's worthwhile.
Did you autograph anything?
No.
Come on.
Nope, but it was super cool.
What kind of famous person are you?
Mm-hmm.
Beginning the Peace River, Harbor Heights area, and upriver along with Shell Creek. What have we got going on, Robert?
Still obviously a lot of obstacles that people are learning and figuring out. But I've had one guy catch a nice size tarpon, like 80 to 100 pounder. A couple people have been seeing a few more roll up there of the bigger ones, just because it's been so blooming warm. Some of those resident fish are moving around already. And then...
What would you do if you wanted to catch one of those?
Try to catch a tilapia or a Mayan cichlid and just hope for pure luck fishing in the area where you might see one roll.
Does it need to be live or can it be dead?
Technically, legally, shouldn't it be dead?
Technically, legally, I've had a change in understanding on that regulation. So if you are catching a live tilapia or Mayan cichlid where you caught it, you can use it for live bait.
Right.
However, transporting it alive is illegal.
Right, so if it's now, alive in your live well while you're drifting around out there looking for them, you're breaking the law.
That becomes the question, though, is what does transport really mean? Because we're talking about moving from one body of water to the other is really what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that would be considered transporting it. If I go from catching it over here by this dock to fishing it over here by this bridge and it's literally, you know, a quarter of a mile. Is that really transporting the fish from one body of water to another? It doesn't feel like it is to me. I feel like I'd be willing to make that argument if I thought that a live bait would be a better choice.
Right.
I caught it right over there. I can see the dock from here, dude.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. To be fully safe, if it were dead, then it wouldn't matter how far you took it.
Right.
I think they'd probably eat a dead one, too. But I think a live one would be better.
Right. Probably so.
Mayan cichlid. All right. Had to think about how to spell the word. Anything else going on up here?
A few snook. Not a lot, but a few. And mostly in the Shell Creek area. But it's been, you know, it's been windy, wonky, the whole nine yards. You know, so, but I expect I'll be getting a few more reports up there now that snook season is officially opened. So, that'll make a difference.
Yeah. So I think that's freaking a lot of people out, though, about snook season being actually open.
Yes.
First of all, people don't believe it.
Yeah. And then second of all, they don't know what to do with it because it's been so long. They forgot about their snook stamp. They forgot the size limits and bag limits, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't think it was actually going to happen, so they didn't bother to prepare for it, which I totally understand. We didn't talk a whole lot about snook season coming up because, you know,
we
kind of had the feeling that they might just cancel at the last minute like they did last time.
Exactly.
So.
And there's a lot of people that did buy their Snook stamp the last time thinking it was going to open, so they still currently have one.
Right. And, you know, then there's
a lot of
people.
I, on the other hand, do not.
There's a lot of people, too, who are very upset about Snook season being open.
Yeah.
And, hey, we get it. We understand both sides of this situation. The key thing that I tell people is let's not turn on each other. You know, I'm a bass fisherman, too, and I'm a catch-and-release bass fisherman almost all the time. But if I see somebody catch a bass, I don't yell at him. I don't tell him what a tool he is for putting that bass on ice to take home and fillet it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've eaten those fish. They're edible. That's fine.
Yeah.
I've eaten snook. Snook are edible. That's fine. If you feel like it's okay to do it, it's legal to do it, that's great. If you have a problem with it, then take it out on FWC because
right.
they're the ones who opened it up.
Yeah.
So let's not let this be another division
yeah.
in our community. We don't need any more.
No. Exactly. I get that. I like it.
Sorry, take my soapbox away so
no.
we can move on with the Stars Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
I've got nothing there. I haven't heard anything in actually quite some time.
No reports. Okay, 41 Bridges Live Oak Park.
Snook bite has been doing good there at night and in the early mornings until about an hour after sunrise. And that's whether you're land-based or boat-based there. They have been getting a few trout over there. Not a lot, but a few. Mangrove snapper, a couple of black drum. That's about it that I've heard of. I mean, I know guys have been up there anticipating cobia showing up any day now because the temperatures are right. And it's usually sometime in March, but usually it's more towards the end of March. So, but because it's so warm and there's so much bait moving around of all sizes throughout the whole harbor. If they're in here, they're going to show up. But if they're not in here, they're locked out. There's a gate out front.
Right. And we'll get to that gate when we get closer to the ICW with these reports.
Yes.
Lashley Pier is closed until further notice due to hurricane damage, so we're just going to skip that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore, I have not had any reports there.
No reports.
Yep.
All right, here's where it starts to get better. The Port Charlotte Canals, saltwater, brackish water.
Those actually perked up a little bit this week. Getting reports of a lot of little snook, a few bigger snook, and then there's been a lot of trout.
How are we catching those snook? Are we catching them on a troll, live bait?
All the above. Guys are pitching underneath the docks, pitching outside, trolling. I mean, just about every way possible. They've also been getting a few trout up inside some of those canals. I mean, even behind our house, she's been hooking one trout to several trout every night for the last 4 or 5 days.
And how far up the canals do you think those fish go?
I mean, it's so unusual to see them up in our canal, but some of the wider canals, I mean, I've seen them up all the way into the lakes back there off of O'Hara and Flamingo.
Okay.
You know, they make it through that gauntlet of narrow systems back to that open part of the water, and that's where they'll hang out. So, it's hard to say, but even like Spring Lake, they've been getting a few. So, once they make it through that tight area, they kind of like that open water.
Okay.
And I think that's why we're seeing them in there, and I think partially due because of the red tide, plus all the, and it's little bait, it's like an inch and a half long. You know, it's kind of like glass minnows, but some of them are even bigger than that. And that's been what people have been seeing in their canals, and I've been smelling it. I'm not seeing as much because I can't see that well.
But you can smell pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You can also smell pretty bad.
Yes, thanks.
How about the lion cichlids and jacks and small tarpon that we had in here before?
I haven't heard too much on the jacks. The Mayan cichlids I've been hearing about, and some sand bream way in the back, but not as many this past week as I had been hearing about.
Okay.
Same way with mangrove snapper. Haven't heard much about those or sheep's head. A few more people seeing black drum in the Port Charlotte canals, but not catching them yet. But they're starting to see them moving around a little bit more, which is a good thing.
I'd rather catch them.
Sure, but at least as you're starting to see him become more active, it's kind of cool. That means they're going to start getting to where they're going to be feeding and fighting and having a good time.
Soon.
Soon.
We hope.
You would like
Very
to hope.
soon. All right, how about the L. Joe Bean Fishing Pier?
No Joe Bean?
L. Joe Bean.
L. Joe Bean.
Not Jelly Bean.
Jelly Roll.
No, not Jelly Roll. L. Joe Bean. I
Not
hate
a
it when
big fan of his music.
When employees come in here and bother us, that's so annoying because he's just completely interrupting our thing. Listen, get out. Shoo. Ooh, he almost got me with that, too. He'd have got me if he wanted to. Jeff's, yes. Jeff's a better shot than that.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, the Jelly Bean Pier.
Let's see. Snook have been doing good at night. The daytime, it's been kind of slow. Heard a couple reports of mangrove snapper and some trout. But that's about it. Overall, it's been a little quiet. I just haven't had much reports there this week.
Yeah, I think there's probably more snook going on there than they're talking about.
Oh, I think so, too. There's no question. It's one of my favorite places to fish for snook, personally, from shore. Even from a boat, it's a pretty good spot. Challenges you, but you also have a good chance of getting your legal size fish and numbers at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least that was pre-hurricane. I haven't been there since.
I don't know how much it really could have changed out there. I mean, there's been a lot of hurricanes go through that area, and you know.
Yeah, it's just the amount of flooding. I don't know what it changed with the topography around it personally.
Right.
And nobody's really given me a good answer.
It certainly changed things, but I doubt it changed the fact that that's going to be a fish magnet.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, your favorite log on the bottom may have moved around a little bit.
A little.
But the Myakka River area from the bridge down to marker 8.
I've got nothing. I've gotten nothing at all, not even in the cutoff.
Nothing as in no reports?
No
or
reports.
Or nothing as in people went and didn't catch nothing?
No, just no reports.
Didn't catch nothing. No reports. Well, okay. So, somebody who's fishing out that area, call and give a report. Shop
yeah.
number is?
941-625-3888.
And, of course, talk to Robert if you can.
And that's any fishing report. I like it.
The South Gulf Cove canals.
A couple small snook. One guy did catch a couple of redfish there by the locks on the inside. A few guys have been catching tilapia, Mayan cichlids, way up in the back canals. Been selling a lot of worms for back in there. Guys are looking for a little bit of grocery fishing and doing fairly well. I haven't heard of anything else back in there, though.
Okay. No little tarpon rolling around?
Nothing.
No bass?
Nope. That would be no other reports.
I know. I'm just trying to jog your memory in case there was something that you forgot. So
I know. You're good at that.
Just bouncing your brain a little bit. Once in a while,
it
I do
does.
That and something pops out. So.
It does. It needs to be smacked around once in a while.
I don't have a lot of hope, but I'm just giving it a shot, okay? While I was finishing typing, too, so there was not a giant lull of
you
the conversation.
You don't want that dead airspace in there, is that what it is?
Well, I mean, they can hear me clickety-clacking away if they've got their headphones on, but otherwise it just sounds like nothing's happening.
All right. This is true.
I am not a court stenographer. So
right.
I can only type so fast. And
but
then
you're
I have
pretty
to go,
good at
I have to go back and fix my typos.
Yeah.
You remember back in the bad old days when Frank did these and he never fixed any typos.
Right.
So you'd read it and it was like, does he have four thumbs when he types?
H-T-E.
All the time. It just bothers me. You know, as a magazine editor, I just can't stand that.
I know.
Can we talk about the West Wall yet?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, good.
A lot of snook. Quite a few redfish.
Underneath the bushes?
All along
or?
The bushes, yeah. The bushes and the mouths of the creeks. And then out on top of the bar, especially as you get to about the halfway point down, more trout, a couple of very short cobia. A couple guys have seen a couple baby tarpon rolling around in the trough there between the bushes and the bar. And a guy did catch one pompano. Blindly while trout fishing.
One guy caught one pompano.
Yeah.
You know, you always tell me that when one guy catches one thing, you're not going to put it in the fishing report.
I usually don't, but this, you know, the last several weeks we've had guys seeing skipping pompano down along that way while running. So if he's hooking one, I'm going to just kind of generalize that the possibility of getting into some pompano, if you're looking for them, is practically possible.
Okay, so what you're saying is that one guy catching one pompano doesn't mean anything normally, but in this case it's potentially significant because there have been other pompanos skipped and sighted in that area.
Yeah.
That's a lot to type.
It is.
Sing a song real quick while I do that.
Oh, there once was a man from Nantucket.
Don't sing. That's not a song, Robert.
I'm not good at singing. You're the singer, not me. No, but no, there's just enough fish down in that area overall that it's worth mentioning, because this is the time of year when they are usually around, and with the scattered stuff, you know, normally I wouldn't. If it was August and somebody said, oh, I caught a sheep's head over here, no, I'm not going to mention it. But this is a kind of extenuating circumstance.
And I only forced you to explain it because you've explained your own rule often enough that I know somebody was sitting there calling you out.
I know.
So I knew why you did it. Can we talk back a little bit, though, about these snook and redfish underneath the bushes and around the creek mouths, and what kind of things you're going to throw at them? Is this an artificial bite? Is it a natural bait bite? What are we doing? How do we get?
Both. Guys are catching them on shad tails. Some guys are throwing the mirror lure miradines, doing fairly well. And then there is white bait out there. It's not heavy, but it is enough where some guys are finding it and using it. But the shrimp have been working exceptionally well, and so have cut mullet and ladyfish. Even a couple guys have caught some 24, 25-inch snook on the cut mullet and ladyfish that they're throwing out there, in addition to those redfish. And if you can find pinfish, you know, it's definitely worth trying those.
Dig it. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Alrighty. Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes. Several pompano. Like three, but two different people. Bonnet heads, a few trout, a couple of Spanish mackerel.
Lots of bonnet head sharks?
Half a dozen.
Okay.
Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, flipper. Guy had flipper take two of his trout off the hook while reeling them in.
Great.
Yeah.
Still closed season on them, by the way.
Yes, I know.
The flippers, not the trout.
What else? That's about it.
Okay.
But the bonnet heads were interesting because the guy said he saw a lot that day just milling around. He got to see two of them finning, which I thought was cool. Said at the same time, he goes, no, two separate ones just came up along, just finning along. It was just neat to see.
I love watching those guys cruise.
Yeah.
Thinking they're big and bad.
Yeah. Having those aquarium National Geographic moments is always cool out there.
Mm-hmm. How about turtle and bull bays?
Turtle and bull bay are doing decent. A lot of trout, redfish, snook, a few juvenile tarpon in the back of bull and turtle bay. A few bigger sharks. A couple guys have been seeing 4 to 6 foot bulls, and one guy saw a lemon shark the other day cruising through. He's pretty sure it was a lemon. He said it was either a lemon or a nurse, but he was going with the lemon because he said they both, you know, was big enough with the dorsal, the secondary dorsal.
Anybody try to catch one of those things out there?
Most guys aren't prepared for it. They just got their small spinning tackle.
Yeah, which is silly considering how many of those fish get spotted in there.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd think somebody,
would have a bigger pole ready. Yeah. Nope. But they're catching them on a myriad of things. You know, most guys are throwing shrimp back in there, and then a lot of guys are throwing the paddle tails. A couple of guys have gotten a couple of trout on their early first light topwater bite. One guy did hook a snook the other day throwing a topwater in there early in the morning, and he said that was way out by the oyster bar in the middle of Turtle Bay. He said it jumped once through the bait, but he said it was pretty awesome. So they've been getting a good mixed bag of stuff in there. And there are some dead fish floating in there from the red tide out along the intercoastal. But I have yet to hear of physical red tide in bull and turtle yet. The dead fish have been literally on the west wall, east wall, but more numbers in the Bull Bay area, but just haven't heard of anyone feeling the impacts of it inside the Bull Bay. So don't freak out if you see a few dead fish floating by or hanging out in the bushes dead.
Right. So the first thing I look for, you see dead fish, look for live fish.
Yep.
If you see live fish, be less concerned.
Right. It's a good rule. I like that.
Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
Just a few Spanish mackerel on Cape Hayes Reef is all I've heard about. Not very many, but enough where it's worth trolling around or making a few blind casts to. And nobody's told me much about Danger Reef at all.
I'm not even sure if there is a Danger Reef anymore.
Well, the majority of it's probably blown out, but there was always a little bit of structure there. You know, the barnacles and oysters that built up on that hull down there, that's pretty much deteriorated to nothing. You know as well as I do, a cinder block in there will be good habitat for a few fish.
It's true. So, but also hard to find.
You think? Just a little bit.
A little tricky.
Yes.
I know some people have dropped some down there, too.
Yes,
but
definitely.
You know, a cinder block laying on the bottom of Charlotte Harbor isn't forever.
No. Usually it tends to disappear. Sinks into the silt.
Let's take a look at Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound's been very wonky. They have been getting some sheep's head, snook, redfish, trout, a couple bonnet heads, you know, kind of a mixed gamut, but honestly, there's been so many patches of red tide coming through that whole intercoastal that I'm extremely personally skeptical about if I was going to go down there by boat. You know, I'd be just be prepared to move. And if you smell it, that doesn't necessarily mean anything like you've explained before. It can travel on the wind a long way, a couple miles, if it, you know, especially on a windy day like today where it's getting aerosolized.
Yeah, it doesn't carry quite as far as smoke does, and it does get dispersed faster.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
'cause it's heavier.
Easily goes a couple of miles.
Yeah. So just because you're feeling it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just a matter of is it annoying enough feeling to you where you don't want to be there because it's that unpleasant? But the main thing is there could still be plenty of live fish right where you're at, not being bothered by it because it's far enough away. So, you know, just kind of use your best judgment when you get out to that area. And that's almost something you could just copy and paste for the next several spots, to be honest. Because it's that hopscotch, but like if you watch in the local news, all they're talking about is Charlotte Harbor to Collier County. The reality is it's from South Tampa Bay all the way down to south of Naples. So there's just hodgepodge patches of it, and some patches are extremely big and some are really small, but there is scattered enough patches out there where it's making it very difficult for any angler that's fishing the intercoastal or just along the beaches up to about 6-8 miles out.
So we're doing kind of the same thing here for Placida.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep's head, snook, or redfish and trout also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Same thing with Lemon Bay.
Do the same thing for Lemon Bay.
Yeah, it's just...
How about the Tom Adams Pier?
I didn't get any reports for the Tom Adams Pier.
Okay, how about the Venice Jetties?
Well, the only report I got was one gentleman drove up there and he said there was red tide. He was coughing and he didn't even pull his stuff out. He pulled in the parking lot, had his windows already down, and got out hacking and coughing and walked out there just to ask one guy that was fishing. And he said, yeah, it's been like this off and on all day.
Yeah.
And he had only caught like one sheep's head.
Now, we learned from the Cook brothers that there have been Spanish mackerel moving around down there when the red tide's not present.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and add that because I trust that report.
Right. No, they're pretty accurate. They're very realistic with their reports sometimes. Sometimes a little dry, but they're at least the right information.
Their delivery is... They're not showmen. Let's put it that way.
I got no room to talk.
But... I wasn't gonna mention that, Robert.
Oh, I'm not gonna be the pot calling the kettle black. I know flat out.
But the information is there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can take how it's delivered, the information is there. Now, if you would rather have bad information delivered well. I'm sure there are better sources for that.
Oh, yes, but there are. Just look at YouTube.
I would much rather have good information delivered flatly because, you know, that's something I can deal with.
Yeah.
Your choice. Do you want to be entertained now or do you want to be entertained on the water?
Well, it's true.
How about the Gulf of Mexico bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks out in the Gulf of Mexico where the Gulf of Mexico is?
Wow. So in the Gulf of Mexico, basically you've got at about 10 miles is where it seems to be the safe magic number where there's not red tide. Inside of 10 miles, it's patchy. So I've had guys that have been catching bait inside and then running offshore and hit a patch of it and kill everything they got in their live well. So I would.
So out past 10 miles, though.
Out past 10 miles, you got grunts, porgies, sheep's head, a few mangrove snapper, and a few lanes. But 25 to 35 miles seems to be kind of that magic number for a better grouper, mangrove snapper, bigger lane snapper, a couple vermilion snapper. Just kind of the mixed little bag of stuff. But I would. If I wanted a good variety of better quality fish, I'd be fishing around that 30-mile mark, right at that 100 feet of water, roughly. Giving that a shot.
I can certainly agree with those words. How about any kind of pelagics? Do we have mackerel of any sort?
There's been some kingfish out there. Not a lot. The biggest one I've heard of so far is 30 inches. A couple people have seen some skyrocketing fish, but they're hearing them all the way up into Tampa Bay now. So they're up and down the whole coast. Not as many Spanish mackerel out there, but the kings have been there. I've heard of one cobia. It was undersized. A couple guys, one group of guys on a boat saw some bonita blitzing. Didn't get them, but they saw them blitzing out there. So things are becoming a little bit more active with some of the pelagics. So,
we're not there yet.
No. I mean, if you want to troll a spoon and a lip plug, I absolutely would because of the chances of a king are very realistic right now. And as long as this warm spell keeps going, they aren't going to stick around long. They'll be in Destin in no time.
Yeah, if you want to catch a kingfish, pray for cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a good couple days cold snap to keep them hanging around down here.
Any triple tail reports out there?
None. They took all their britches last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sure did. Okay, Punta Rasa, no reports till further notice. Same with Redfish Pass. Moving on to Captiva Pass. We heard anything?
Nope. Just some red tide stuff. Unfortunately.
I don't like it, but I would rather be accurate than paint a sunny picture.
Yes.
How about Boca Grande Pass?
Boca Grande, kind of the same thing. Some very patchy red tide, but they did catch a couple Spanish mackerel in there, a few mangrove snapper. A couple guys have gotten some sheep's head. I've heard of a couple snook, but overall, a lot of people are avoiding it because of the red tide. Even if it's not there, they're seeing so many dead fish along the beaches and shoreline. They're just avoiding it. It's like Typhoid Mary or something. Just dead fish, better go somewhere else. So I think that's what's definitely hindering some of the reports.
I can totally get it.
Yeah. It's just frustrating because I know it's bad, but it's not like horrific or oh my gosh, you're never going to catch a fish again in that area kind of thing.
This is not the best of all possible times to introduce this, but I'm bringing it back anyway. Walking the Gulf beaches, Sanibel to Venice, anywhere along the Gulf shoreline.
I've gotten nothing.
No beach fishing reports, but the time is coming.
It is.
If we didn't have the red tide out there,
I think there would be a lot of people out there doing it and I'd have more reports without a doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
So I added that in there just to get us kicked off on that mentality, seeing as we have no idea how long this red tide's going to be out here.
It right.
could be more or less cleared up by the time we talk about this again next week.
Mm-hmm.
I would just love that. But
it would be great if its life cycle was over.
But there's no way to know. I mean, it literally can wrap up by this time next week, or it could last another 6 months.
Yeah.
Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey. I got nothing off of Matt Lachey at all. I know all that area is starting to come back together again. Burt's opened back up from what I heard was told by a customer the other day, or last week, something
like
that.
That's pretty incredible, considering that there was no Burt's after the storm.
Right. You know, I don't know to what extent it's back open, but they said it's back open. I have not been down there, so I can't say for my absolute positivity, but these people live in St. James City.
Okay.
So they were telling me, so I got to take their word for it.
Yeah, well, they would know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got no reports out of the south end of Pine Island Sound for now. How about the north end? Anybody doing anything?
A few trout, a couple of redfish, and some snook activity. But they've had a couple of little patches of red tide flow down into that general vicinity, so it's extremely hit or miss. Enough to chase a bunch of the fish out of there, but they are getting a few. It will get better. It's just a matter of when, and on my crystal ball, never will tell me how long that stuff's going to last.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this is people just not going fishing.
Right.
You know, it's reducing the reports, even in areas where there are fish, because we've talked about the bottle effect of having these fish not be able to be around the ICW because of the patchy red tide.
Mm-hmm.
And these fish will mostly leave those areas. So
right.
There's going to be some down there, but, you know, those are kind of the dumb ones. The smarter ones will get out of the way so that they don't get killed by the next patch that comes along.
Exactly.
So I think that there's probably a lot more fishing activity in the middle and upper parts of the harbor than what we're hearing about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is people just hearing the red tide reports and assuming that it's everywhere out there. And it's not. It's along the intercoastal. If you're going to fish now, you know, there's real good reason to skip the intercoastal areas. But, you know, once you get inside of Cape Hayes, if you're thinking about fishing over on the east side, then absolutely. If you're going to fish the west wall, yeah, why not? There's not going to be red tide there, even if there might be a few dead fish, even if you might get a whiff of it on the wind. The actual red tide organism is not there in the water.
Right.
So I think that there's probably a lot more fishing action to be had out there if you're willing to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a matter of getting out there and doing it.
Yep. All right, how about Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla?
Jug Creek Shoal, I've gotten nothing there. Nothing on Boquilla either. And there again, people are hesitant.
I understand it.
Their boats are already damaged. Their houses are already damaged. And then you add this to the mix. They're like, eh, what's one more thing to the list of why bother?
Right.
This
Burnt
sucks.
Store to Pine.
There's been some snook and redfish down there. I haven't heard anything else other than a few snook and redfish. There has been a couple of patches of red tide that did move along there. That did kill fish, but it also chased a bunch of fish out of that area. So I think we've been dealing with a little bit of red tide right there in that immediate area to just north.
Okay.
Especially from what I had reports from last week versus this week to the guys that were the same guys from last week this week. Went down into that area and said, yeah, it was more like a ghost town. I had bait down there, I had ladyfish, I had trout, now I'm not, nothing. So.
All right, well then let's move north up towards Pirate Harbor and the East Side Keys.
From Pirate Harbor down to Burnt Store is almost identical as the Burnt Store report. There's been, the red tide did make it there, definitely to the Pirate Harbor hole, and right along the shoreline. And of course there's a lot of dead fish that have been blowing in with this tide and wind that are coming in from the Gulf. So people are freaking out seeing all these dead fish. I mean, what, somebody posted that picture on Facebook page, Frank's page, of that big Jewfish right there on the Burnt Store bar.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys are seeing big black drum, Jewfish, a few snook, a few redfish, dead along the shorelines. But most of them are old. If you look at them, they're not fresh dead. They've been several days dead. But they have been getting some trout, a few snook, and a few redfish around the islands and in some of those bays back there that are just a little deeper. And then out front, as you work your way just a little bit further north, about halfway up to Alligator Creek, more trout and a few bonnetheads out on the outside of the bar in that 4 to 5 feet of water range. And of course, people are seeing manatees and some cobia and stuff like that, but all the cobia so far have been undersized. I still have not heard of a legal cobia yet. One guy got six, I think it was last week or the week before last. He's just in the other day talking about it. And he sight fished every one of them, either cruising by themselves along the bar, or two of them, I think, were behind manatees over there. Said the biggest one was 28 inches. So.
Yep. And there's no way you're going to stretch that up to 36.
Nope. That's kind of the same thing with the triple tail last year. The cobia, anything that was of legal size, got its britches taken last year because it was so incredible of a season.
Yep.
But what can you do?
We can move on to the next spot.
Sounds great.
Alligator Creek Poacher's Cut Skating Rink.
In the creek itself, the creek proper, they've been getting a lot of little snook and some jacks. A few guys have been seeing some juvenile tarpon, and it's almost a mirror image of that in Burnt Store Isles. One of our guys that works in here, Dave, he lives over there in Burnt Store Isles, and his neighbor was telling him the other day he was trolling on his way out from his house out and got like three or four snook trolling, two or three jacks. His next door neighbor did the same thing, but also launched one baby tarpon into the air, and they're just trolling the number 10 and number 8 X wraps and the Yozuri F8s, which are all about 4 inches long, roughly.
Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah.
Anything in the skating rink?
Nothing. Zero, nothing. Lots of sand.
Lots of sand.
Probably a terrapin if you look real close.
Not if there's been crab traps up there.
You might roll your boat, roll out of the boat to catch one.
Ponce de Leon Park.
Jump. You've done that before, right?
I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
I would still do it again, but I don't recommend
it. You got them.
Yeah, I still don't recommend
pretty
it.
Pretty epic.
Ponce Park.
Ponce Park. There's been a couple of black drum there, some jacks, very small mangrove snapper, and a few snook. More it's been socializing, but the snook activity picked up just a little bit where a couple guys got excited, but all of them been short or one that just wraps you around the pilings because it's just too big.
And they're eating those dinky mangrove snappers.
Yes, they are. I heard a guy got busted for that a couple weeks ago.
Using little mangs for bait?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep, I heard he got written a citation for it.
Well,
that's, I mean,
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it's an even better thing personally to know that the man has been down there now checking on it again, because it seems to go in ebbs and flows where you hear nothing, 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 and then they get checked for a little bit, and then nothing, nothing, nothing. So it's good that they're kind of back on their route again.
Yeah.
Needs to be done regularly,
I don't
personally.
I like when poachers just have free reign. That's not cool.
Yeah. Well, and you know what the sad part is? Half of those guys doing it don't realize it's illegal. They just watch the other clown do it who does know it's illegal but doesn't say anything because he doesn't care.
Right.
You know, it's that monkey see, monkey do thing. I mean, I had a guy in here the other day. He had no idea that it was illegal to use them for bait. Like, it's got to be legal size. You can't use an 8-inch snapper for bait. Oh, I didn't know that. Like, it's a fish that has a bag limit and a size limit. You cannot just throw it on the hook and use it for bait. He had no idea.
Yeah. And I get the ignorance argument, but on the other hand, if you know that it has a bag limit and size limit, which I think they probably do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit of sense kind of dictates that you can't use the short ones for bait, right?
You would think, but I get the naiveness of it because there's so many new people here that are still trying to figure out the rules that it does get a little overwhelming sometimes.
Well, and hey, I was on a headboat out in the Keys, and guess what happened when little yellowtails came up?
They went right back down on
a
hook.
They chopped them up and used them for cut bait.
Yep, they didn't care.
So, yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
All right, let's see what's going on in the PGI canals and generalized Punta Gorda area.
That's actually doing probably the best, and I think mostly because, I mean, those are deeper water canals. lot of people fishing out of the wind, a lot of snook, and a lot of jacks. And guys are catching them trolling, still fishing, drifting, all the above. There's been still some peppy jacks in here. 18 pounds, that's another 18 pounder I've heard of. You know, a customer was in here yesterday. It was kind of cool because when you're chatting with one customer about things, sometimes other customers are there to listen because they either have the same question or they're just interested. But this customer actually helped me out because I was explaining to the guys that it's going to be too windy today to go offshore. Like, just stay in the PGI canals. And they just, well, what am I going to catch there? Because they live in there. And I'm like explaining to them, and the guy standing next to me pulls out his phone and he says, well, this is what I've been catching. And he showed him some jacks, a few snook, a couple of mangrove snapper, and a couple of sheephead that he was all catching on shrimp. That's all him and his wife do is fish with shrimp back there. They just drift a little bit, and sometimes they'll stop and anchor for a little, and every now and then they'll troll. So he was mixing it all up, and those guys, it built up their confidence after me trying to explain it to them, and then that stranger just showing them pictures of, and that guy was really cool because he showed them exactly where he was fishing. He pulled up the map, showed them in Colony Point, one of the spots where he was going all the way up to Colony Point, almost to the Humped Up Bridge, fishing there, and then he showed them the lagoon inside Ponce de Leon, coincidentally where these guys live at.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, that's our canal.
That's my dock.
That left turn right there, that's our house right there. And he's like, well, I've been catching them on the opposite end over here, but they've all been cruising through. So they got, it was just cool. I like when other customers interact with each other and I get to learn stuff, they get to learn stuff and build up the confidence. It's good stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But you get to take the credit.
No, I don't.
You little Edison, you.
Yes. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Christopher.
What else do we have going on in the canals here? We got snook, we got jacks. Anything else happening?
That's about it.
No black drums?
They're seeing them, but not a lot of people catching them. They're starting to grunt and drum, whatever you want to call it. People are seeing them, definitely, but I haven't heard of too many being caught.
Okay.
It's getting there. It's ramping up.
They're in there.
Yes, definitely.
And the sheep's head are not in there.
I haven't heard much about sheep's head. I've heard of a couple, but that's been super, super sporadic.
Okay. Then let's move on to your favorite spot, the Gilchrist Pier.
Nothing. Crickets.
I really feel like maybe I should just take this out of here because there's never any reports.
In the summertime,
it's always nothing.
But in the summertime, it does get where it's worth mentioning.
Killing me with this no reports.
I can't help it.
You know what?
In the summertime, it does get better. So it might be one of those things where you could just put no reports on it for the next 2 months.
I'm gonna say no reports until summer.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's when it seems to get better.
All right. So
the weird part is I would think I'd be getting more reports with Lashley being closed because there's a park there. There's a good fishing pier. I mean, and it's never really been, I mean, it isn't as good as Lashley. I will give it that. But it's not a whole lot worse. But you would think with one being closed, you'd have more people trying to go there and doing something.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Listen, I can tell you this. When I was younger and dumber, believe it or not, I used to be dumber, and I fished all these piers trying to figure out what was what, I learned pretty quick that Gilchrist never produced a whole lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I never caught a lot at Lashley, but at least I could go to Lashley and expect, I'm going to catch something here.
Right.
Gilchrist was usually, well, nothing again. Didn't even lose a shrimp. Okay. Well.
See, I've had better luck fishing along the seawall.
I'll try it again in a month.
That's where I've had better luck.
I did that, too. I tried the seawall. I tried all up and down the pier. I was smart enough to know that not all the fish are at the end.
Right.
Like some people seem to think.
Yes.
And it was even hard to lose bait out there. And that was, that was 20 years ago.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. I don't have the warm and fuzzies for the Gilchrist Pier.
Well, if nothing changes sometime in mid-May, then we'll get rid of it. How's that?
Fine.
Seemed practical.
Fine. Alligator Creek Reef.
A couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of mangrove snapper, and a few sheep's head. And one guy did catch, I think it was the 30-inch snook off of there. I forget what size it was. It was a good size fish. It was a couple days before season opened. But he was just bottom fishing for snapper and sheep's head and got that snook, so he was pretty excited. And I told him this past winter, a few guys have caught snook on it, which is, I think, because of the topography changes in a lot of the canals and stuff. I think a lot of snook hung out there on that reef this year.
Right. Makes sense.
More than normal, because I had a lot more reports of snook being caught out there than ever before.
Now, you mentioned the mangoes. Keeper fish?
Nah, small ones. Barely keeper, 10, 11 inches. Most of them been 8, 9 inches. The sheep's head haven't even been that big either. And my friend went diving down there the other day. And he saw quite a few sheep's head, some bigger mangrove snapper, a lot of baby jewfish. And that was it.
Gotcha.
He didn't mention anything about snook.
Okay. Now, I dare to broach this subject. The deep holes in Charlotte Harbor, aka the 20-foot holes. The last time we had a report here was in January, and it said quiet until March or April. It's officially March. So, I'm asking, anything going on here?
With all the bait that's moved into the harbor, a couple guys have gotten some Spanish mackerel while blind trolling through that area. And that's it. So, there are some mackerel around, but not a lot.
See, I approached that very delicately because
I
thought
did.
You were going to yell at me.
You did. You had kids gloves on for that one. That was pretty good.
How about the bait fish report?
There's scattered white bait throughout the whole harbor, and it's just because it got pushed in because of the red tide that's out there. You know, I've heard of some at Marker 2. I've heard some over by the mouth of the Myakka, some over there by Alligator Creek, you know, and it's very inconsistent with the sizes. Some of it's very small, some of it's not too bad. But it is, if you look at bait as a whole, there's a lot of it out there because most of it's teeny, tiny, SM all, small. But it is out there.
So this is the size of bait that you're going to think twice and then maybe one more time before you throw a net.
Right. Yeah, it hasn't been giant. It would be great if they would just leave it alone.
That would be preferable.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings.
At this point, you know.
If they would have closed that down at the same time when they had snook and redfish closed down, I would like to see the profound effect that would have done.
I wonder. I mean, redfish and snook didn't have a profound effect.
Right.
We could be wrong about that, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. It's one of those things, put a little sunset clause on it for a couple of years and see what you notice.
How about we talk about the freshwater creeks, canals, ponds, lakes, and other bodies of water?
A lot of guys are still buying crappie minnows and doing okay, but I've been hearing a lot of bycatch of tilapia, Mayan cichlids, and even some bluegill with those crappie fishermen.
Tilapia eat minnows?
Yep, once in a while. And then one guy had a picture, I forget what he say it was. It was like 16 or 18 inches, which I know they get that big, but it was in his hand holding it in the picture. It looked bigger than that. But it was chunky, too. I mean, it looked like it was a wide fish across the shoulders wide. So it was kind of cool. And it was super, super light, that almost butter white color.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. Bass fishing has been okay. I'm hearing mixed reports in Nine Mile Canal and over in Rotunda. But honestly, I'd say half of the guys coming in and picking up worms and minnows and shiners are taking them down to the Everglades. They're running down there to either Alligator Alley or to the Everglades to go fish for the Oscars, the cichlids, peacock bass, a lot of bowfin or mudfish, and gar. I mean, we talked about it the other day at our talk. You know, that would be personally where I'd be going.
Yep.
You know, just to have a good time. It's Like, I'm half tempted to talk her into taking a drive down there for a day just to go do it.
It's been.
Yeah. It's just dealing with the traffic driving down there kind of sucks.
I know. And here we are at the beginning of March, and it's time to start talking about tarpon reports again. So, what have we got?
Nothing. Still too early
yet. Come on. Got to be some tarpon. Come on. Give us a bone.
That one up on the Peace River that was caught and a couple of guys seeing them roll, that's it.
But that's where we're at with tarpon, is
we're
that
at the beginning stages.
The fish that overwintered here are just starting to feed again.
Mm-hmm.
So where are they most likely to be? Probably in the rivers.
Yep.
Is it going to be great? No.
No.
Is it going to be possible? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the patience to go do it.
Yep. Exactly.
But, yeah, I agree. It's going to be slow for now. But the temperature is coming up, and the metabolism of a tarpon is such that eventually it's got to eat, even if it doesn't really want to, when it gets warm.
Right.
So.
And that next front isn't for, what, another week away, and it doesn't even look like it's going to be much of a front.
It might be a big fat zero.
Yep. It's way too far away to even guess. But even at the guessing part of it, it looks pretty insignificant. It's kind of funny. No winter here, and yet the desert's covered in snow.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Yes.
If you have more patience than brains, you can try it.
You could.
That's where we're going to go with that. Okay, I think we've gone through the whole list of places that we had on here. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this report? Any other words of wisdom for this week? Anything else that you really need to get off your chest?
No, not really. Just don't let the red tide eat you alive. You know, go out there and check it, but be prepared for plan B and just move.
Well, and that's where we are right now, is so many people just have it in their heads that red tide is everywhere out there, and a lot of people are just going to totally skip out on the fishing because of that.
Yeah.
You know, and there are areas that I wouldn't be fishing right now, you know, mm-hmm. the intercoastal area right out there on the beach. Yeah, I'm going to skip it because my recreation time is valuable. I got other things that I like to do. I got other hobbies that I can deal with, so I'm not going to be out there doing that thing. But you know what? If somebody said, hey, I really want to go fishing, well, there's lots of places we can do that.
Right.
We just talked about a whole mess of them. So
right.
Don't even ask me where, because that's what we spent the last 45 minutes discussing.
Exactly.
And if you forgot where they are already, then go to fishandfranks.com and click on the link.
There you go.
It's very simple. This is basic stuff, people.
Perfect.
All right. I think that's it for this report, except for one thing, Robert. You've got to say goodnight.
Good night, Robert.